How many of you tonight are useful? Maybe I should say, how many of you wives think your husband is useful? Or vice versa. But useful. The definition given by the dictionary is capable of being put to use, especially serviceable for an end or a purpose. And, you know, we could take time this evening. We could just go around here, and every one of you, I'm sure, could give an example, a sentence of the use of the word useful. Diligence is useful in all endeavors. A well-built, sturdy hammer is useful in carpentry work. And we could just go on and on, and we could just name a number of things that we can look at as useful. But tonight, I want us to turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. And from that one verse, I want us to see a couple of truths concerning being useful in the work of the Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. I'm going to jump up to verse 11. I'm going to read down through verse 13. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto him. Now, the second half of the verse is that what we're going to be looking at, be our text for the evening. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Availability. Your notes, explanation. You know, I mentioned the fact that a good, well-built, sturdy hammer is very useful in carpentry. But you know, you could buy the most expensive hammer, the sturdiest hammer, the best built hammer in all the world, but if it's not there, if it's not available, it's of no use to you. In order for it to be of use to you, it has to be available. Mr. Rogers. Now, I'm not talking about the one that had the neighborhood on TV, but the one that quarterbacks Green Bay Packers. Now, somebody told me he's a pretty good quarterback. And if you don't believe it, just ask him. But he is probably one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League. But, you know, in the last half of the season last year, he was not useful whatsoever because he wasn't available. Now, I realize that his availability wasn't his own choosing. He was injured. But, you know, again, a great quarterback, but he was no use to the team because he was not available. And I realize that that's a little bit shaky there. I'm sure he was somewhat useful in coaching or helping the other quarterbacks, but you know, you have to be available in order to be of use. You could have the smartest individual that you can think of, but if he's not available, he is not of use. And spiritually speaking, the wisest, most talented person is not useful to the Lord if he's not available. If he does not make himself available. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, we hear Paul says, but yield yourself, and then a little later, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Yield yourself. Give or devote yourself is what that word is speaking of. Allow the Lord to have your will, your talents, to have your all. Back in Luke, in chapter 12, beginning with verse number 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he, the young man, the rich man, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, I should have asked you before I read those verses, but what little phrase do you find repeated several times in those verses? I will, I will, I will. And so here was a young man, a rich man. He had several I wills. But the problem was his I wills were not yielded to the Lord. They were strictly what he wanted and what he was going to do. And here Paul challenges us to yield ourselves, to yield our members to the Lord. That word yield gives the thought of a completed action. A completed action, a total action. It's a voluntary action. And God desires for us to voluntarily yield ourselves to Him. And so the challenge that Paul gave, and it's a challenge for you and I tonight, to yield ourselves, to yield our members, to become available to the Lord, for Him to use as He sees fit. Some examples. I'll use myself as an example. I know myself better than I know any of you. When I was just out of high school, about a year or so, the draft was still in place at that particular time. And there were five of us who were friends. We'd been friends in high school, we didn't all go to the same school, but we competed against each other, and we lived fairly close to one another, and we'd become friends over the year, and three of them received their draft notice. And the rest of us were same age and so forth, so we knew it wouldn't be long and we would receive ours also. And instead of waiting till I received my draft notice, I went in and I volunteered draft. It's the same as being drafted, and only you tell them when you want to go. And they were these other three were drafted, and they had a report on December the 8th. And so I said, I'm volunteering a draft to enter the service on December 8th. So we could all go. See, I always make myself available to the United States Army. And, if I had a dodged draft or something like that, I would have been of no value. Of course, I'm not sure if I was of much value to the Army anyhow, but I made myself available. And it's the same way in the Army of the Lord. And He wants us to make ourselves available. And there's some good examples in the Bible. We could probably look at just a great number of them, but just a few of them tonight. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this verse. The Lord asked the question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, I'm making myself available. Here am I. Send me. And Isaiah was just simply making himself available. He was yielding himself, and he was yielding his instruments, yielding his members as instruments unto the Lord. But see, Isaiah heard of an opportunity, and he made himself available to that opportunity. And he said, "Here am I, send me." And he showed a devotion and a confidence in God. And he said, "Lord, here am I, send me." In Mark, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11, you know, there was a time when Mark had left and went back home during the first missionary journey, and we come to the second missionary journey, and Paul said, "No, I don't want to take Mark." But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, Paul at this time saw Mark in a different light. Now, I'm not sure if Mark had changed or Paul had changed. I believe Mark had changed, and he had matured some at that particular time. But there was a change. And he says, "For he is profitable to me for the ministry." And that word profitable in that particular place, in the original, it says, easy to make use of, useful. He is useful to me. Mark had become useful because he had yielded himself and his members as instruments unto the Lord. He had proven himself. He had made himself available. And then I think of Paul himself. Paul, of course, we know Paul as Saul, who was a persecutor of the church. He was one who would have Christians thrown to the lions and have them put to death and so forth. And the Lord got a hold of his heart there on the road to Damascus. And there was a great change in his life. And in Acts chapter 9 and in verse number 6, "And he, Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me?" He was making himself available. Lord, he didn't say it as Isaiah did, "Here am I." But he basically was saying that. Lord, I'll do whatever you have me to do. I am making myself available. In the 30 years that I pastored up at First Baptist in Fort Atkinson, about 27 years out of those years, I had a ministry in the Jefferson County Jail. I'd go in and meet with the inmates and have a Bible study with them and so forth. It's always interesting to me. In those 27 years, I only found about two or three that were guilty. You just ask them, they weren't guilty. It was always somebody else's fault, but had the chance to minister to them. And one of the men that I ministered to was a man by the name of Nate. And came to his trial, and the judge allowed him to leave the jail, but he had to put in 100 hours of community service. And so he came to me and asked me if I could provide work for him to do through the church and so forth, or for different people in the church or in neighborhood. And I went to the court, to the judge, and he approved of that. So Nate was going to work out his 100 hours. And he had a certain length of time that he had to get it done. Well, I went to Nate and I gave him a number of projects. We had some projects around the church. I had him do some projects around my house, or at least I wanted him to do some projects around my house. And we had a neighbor lady, a member of our church, that lived right behind the church. And she was getting up in age, and there were some things that he could do there. So we had a lot of projects lined up that he could work his 100 hours off. The sad thing is, he wasn't very often available. He just wouldn't show up. And all of a sudden it dawned on him, he only had about a month left to get his 100 hours in. And at that time, I think he might have had about 20 hours in. But he all of a sudden became available. Because he knew if he didn't get these 100 hours in, he would be right back in jail again. But you know, here he was. He had the opportunity, but he wasn't available. And so it wasn't of much use to the church. He wasn't much use to myself or to anybody else because he simply was not available. He only had the opportunity to reach a goal, but he wasn't available. And it's the same way in our life spiritually. We need to be available. And so if we're going to be useful, if we're going to be useful to the Lord, first of all, we need to be available. We need to say with Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." We need to say with the Apostle Paul, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And then secondly, as we look at this verse once again, there needs to be an acknowledgement. First of all, there needs to be an availability. Secondly, you need to be acknowledged. Look at that last phrase in verse 13 again. "But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Twice, that little phrase, unto God. We need to acknowledge that we have a master. We have one who is over us, a lordship in God. We belong to God. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Lordship of God in our lives ought to take place once we are saved. We become his child. He becomes our father. But do we yield to him as our Lord? Do we yield to him as our master? The payment has been made on our behalf. We are a purchased possession, as Paul tells us there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We, you might say, are the Lord's property. We belong to him. He has purchased us. He has bought us. And he is our master. And as our Lord, and as our master, as our owner of our life, he has the authority to do whatever he wants to do in our life. He has the authority to call us, to place us in a ministry, to give us a opportunity, a service in any area that he so desires to do. But you know, the Lord always gives us opportunities. There's not a day goes by, but he does not give us an opportunity of some type. And the Great Commission, of course, is one of those great opportunities. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And that's an opportunity. Within the local church, within our church, there's many opportunities that come up. And I'm thankful for every opportunity that I have to serve the Lord. I'm thankful for the opportunity I had to go out and have a Bible study out there at Kramer's residence. I'm thankful for the opportunity I had to go out and talk to the folk out at Fair Oaks this afternoon. And you know, God always gives us opportunities. But are we willing, are we available to acknowledge the fact that he is our leader, he's our master, he's our Lord, and he can do all he wants? You know, life is a life of opportunities. You can apply that spiritually, you can apply that socially, and so forth. In the list of examples, you know, we mentioned Isaiah, and we mentioned Mark, and we mentioned the Apostle Paul, and so forth. But every one of them, God gave them opportunities to serve. And they made themselves available to use. Somebody has written, and I forgot to write down who it was, "The future holds untold possibilities." The future holds untold possibilities. No matter if you're one of the young kids like Dave Bailey over here, or if you're one of us older ones, there's still opportunities that we have. Closely related to that matter of opportunities, possibilities or opportunities that continually come before us. You think of the words of Christ himself in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. "Therefore," said he unto them, "the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." The laborers are few. There are so many opportunities for others to become involved. Areas that we can become involved in. And, you know, I'm so thankful. My wife and I have had the joy of being here a little over a year now, and watching and observing the usefulness of the people of this church, making themselves available just to serve the Lord in a way that the Lord would have them serve in different ways. You know, every one of us are different. And you're all thankful you're not like me. And anyone, everyone can be used of the Lord. And I have a follow-up Bible study on this. We talked about being available. I talked about the acknowledgement. And then the fourth one would be accord, unity. You know, a church is working together through unity and diversity. We're unified in the goal, but we're diversified in who we are and what we can do. I could not tell you where middle C is on a piano. I cannot play the piano whatsoever. Now, there's a lot of other things that I cannot do. I am not an electrician. And but you know, some of you are. And in that diversity, we become unified in accomplishing what God would have us to do. And then the fourth one I label as assistance. I just needed an A, so I used assistance. It was dependability. Dependability upon the Lord. We can do and we ought to do what the Lord would have us to do. But we are totally dependent upon Him for the accomplishment. He alone can give any success. But tonight, am I available? Am I willing to say with Isaiah, "Hear my Lord, send me"? Am I willing to say with Paul, "Lord, what would you have me to do"? And am I acknowledging the fact that I am not my own, but I am bought with a price, and therefore I need to be glorifying the Lord. I need to be serving Him. He is my master. He is my Lord. And what a tremendous thing it is to be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you give us on a regular basis to serve thee. Lord, we're so thankful tonight for the folk of this church who have proven to be available, and they have an acknowledgement of who they're serving. We pray, Lord, you'd continue to bless and use them. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be willing when you give the opportunities to just to make ourselves available. Lord, I pray you guide and direct as we look forward to the Lord's Day. Pray, Lord, that you would give us a blessed end of the week. And then as we gather here on the Lord's Day, that you would bless and pray you bring visitors in. We see decisions made for thee. Guide and direct in our week and help us to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before we leave, let me encourage you. Go back and sign if you're planning on being at the gathering on Saturday evening. God bless you. Good night.